Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Frank Farrar Podcast. I'm your friendly neighborhood Carmelite Frank Farrar, a.k.a. Father Nicholas, reporting to you all from Middletown, New York. And for the episode today, we're going into the third dwelling place of the interior castle. This is my Lenten read, and this particular chapter has two, this particular dwelling place has two chapters in it, and one of the overarching themes is, you know, this is sort of the end of the, what we in Carmel see as sort of the aesthetical section of the dwelling places, you know, dwelling place 1, 2, and 3. There's a lot of aesthetical aspects in terms of what a person has to be in that dwelling place, and a lot of the person's own volition that brings them into that place, of course, always by the power and the movement of the Holy Spirit. But there's a lot of, you're doing a lot of things. You're very active in these parts, you know, moving from sin, etc. And, you know, this particular dwelling place, you know, she makes reference to about having been in this particular dwelling place herself for a good stretch of time, because what happens is we can become over-rationalistic. You know, we have a well-regimented, well-worked-out frame of the spiritual life. You know, I say my prayers at this time. I avoid these things because these temptations lead me into sin. You know, I do these things. And, we have a well-regimented life. And what happens is we can forget the necessity of humility and become overly rationalistic and too self-reliant on what we're doing, and that can impact our ability to love, which hinders progression into the next dwelling place. She has this to say, quote, this is from chapter 1, by the way, quote, "It is enough for you to be God's vassals. Don't let your desire be for so much that as a result you will be left without nothing. Behold, the saints who enter this king's chamber, and you will see the difference between them and us. Don't ask for what you have not deserved, nor should it enter our minds that we have merited this favor, however much we have served, we who have offended God." End quote. That last part, and I'm trying to make sure that it's in context, but it says that we have merited this favor, however much we may have served. You know, and this is what happens is, this is why she, you know, appeals again to the necessity of humility. You know, we've gotten things together. We've really begun to tackle the things that are sort of our previous downfalls in terms of sins and temptations and et cetera. And, you know, we can fall into that becoming self-reliant, and that insidious aspect of pride can hook its barbs in us and turn our face from where it is that we're supposed to progress through this dwelling place back into previous dwelling places. We may not even be aware of it. You know, we might have been good soldiers of the Lord and faithful servants. And in Teresa's case, you know, she's speaking to her sisters, so great brides of Christ. But we have to realize that love is the ultimate goal. And therefore, we have to always become aware of the fact that we are the ones who are being loved in that moment, no matter what we are doing, no matter how much activities we have done and et cetera that have brought us to this place. You know, this is, you know, obviously there's the issue and the temptation of Pelagianism, like somehow we can do things that bring about aspects of our own salvation, you know, almost independent of God. So, you know, that's in the background, although she never mentions that, but the error of Pelagianism is sort of there. You know, and God has accepted us as his vassals, as one that can, you know, work on his behalf and have some way of speaking to him, speaking to him directly, and et cetera. But we need humility. Right after that passage I just quoted from you, she says, "Oh, humility, humility, Exclamation point. I do not know what kind of temptation I'm undergoing in this matter, that I cannot help but think that anyone who makes such an issue of this dryness is a little lacking in humility. Because what's going to happen now that we're getting into the deeper part of these, the necessity of aesthetical practices, of beginning to separate ourselves from temptation and sin, you know, there's going to be, you know, a dryness in our prayer because we're being brought into a deeper relationship with God. So those things that were first given over to us, those consolations, are being not necessarily removed because we have the memories of them, etc., but they may not be given because we don't need those things anymore. And the Lord is taking us to something deeper, but our reason can point and speak otherwise. And this is where our pride can really infect our reason. Like, oh, I've done all these great things for you, Lord. I've done this, I've done that, and I've done this. She brings up the wealthy young lad that comes to Jesus, you know, as a warning. I also think when I read this section of the older son in the story of the prodigal son, the son that doesn't want to go in the house when his brother returns, like, oh, I've been the dutiful one and you've never given me this. You know, we can easily fall into that. So we have to be careful about what our reason is pushing us to. And we must always allow his love, the divine love, the great gift that is the Holy Spirit, to convert our reason, to keep our reason illuminated by his loving light that comes from the flame of love. So with that, my brothers and sisters, remember, we're called to always deeper union, which is a growth in love. And we do that by realizing that we can't rely sufficiently on ourselves. And if you, like myself, have tried to craft a life of, you know, having certain regimented things, like I pray at this time of day and I do this at this time of day, and these things are fundamentally important to my prayer life, those are not ends in and of themselves. And the moment we start making those things as ends, this is where we're going to have trouble that she speaks about in the third dwelling place, particularly throughout the two chapters, although I highlighted the first chapter of the third dwelling place today. So thank you very much for your time today. Know that I'm with you. Know that I'm praying for you. May God continue to bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you like what I'm doing here, please make sure to click that subscribe button and to just leave a little review. It really does help other people find me on the platform. Also, if you want more of my content, head to my website, thebrainfryer.com. There, my website, thebrainfryer.com. You can find links to a variety of things, including YouTube videos, things I've written. You can also email me through that website, all this at thebrainfryer.com. Thank you very much for your time today. Know that I've been praying for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.